Brett writes into the Equitable Bank inbox, Gary at 1620thezone.com. I would have taken Gundy in a heartbeat. So Mike Gundy essentially has a lifetime contract now at Oklahoma State. Smart move by Oklahoma State. He's an alum. He has proven himself. You don't know what your conference is going to look like, what the landscape is. You want some stability in a place that some have to get out a roadmap to find out where Stillwater is. I miss Stillwater. Fun, nice little college town. Had a high school classmate who played football at Oklahoma State. We had a good time down there one time. It was actually for a Nebraska game. Went to a Nebraska game and then went and partied with Oklahoma State players who did not seem to take the beating that Nebraska put on them very hard. Which, at the time, I didn't think much of. But he's got a lifetime contract, which I'm thinking in the Big Ten. There are coaches that have long contracts. What does that mean? Well, there's a buyout. There's lawyers. And sometimes it's just a piece of paper. But in this conference, if you were going to give lifetime contracts to coaches in this conference, essentially it may not say a lifetime contract. Now, the wording on Gundy's is a five-year perpetual contract. Ryan Day should have a lifetime contract at Ohio State. Michigan State, Mel Tucker, would you give him a lifetime contract? Now, you may not have Mel Tucker when you get to December. I mean, Mel Tucker may not be coaching in the Michigan State bowl game. He may be observing another school like LSU, where his name is right at the top of the list. If you were Rutgers, I'd give Greg Schiano a lifetime contract. Where in Schiano's football life is he going to go? He's found a home for the second time. And Rutgers is recruiting, and they still haven't done it on the field. But if I was Rutgers, I'd give Schiano a lifetime contract. Look at the West Division. Pat Fitzgerald has a lifetime contract at Northwestern. Kirk Ferentz, lifetime contract at Iowa. Doesn't have many years left on that contract, but he essentially has a lifetime contract at Iowa. If I was Minnesota, and you like where your program is, I'd find a way to lock up P.J. Fleck for, quote-unquote, the perpetual lifetime contract. If you're Wisconsin, would you give Paul Chryst a lifetime contract? Wisconsin's end of the season will be really, really interesting to see what happens. They've got one of the best defenses in all of college football. And paired with one of the worst offenses in college football and an offense in terms of blocking and running that we have never seen in Madison. And Purdue, or Wisconsin, plays at Purdue. Then they get Iowa. They still have Minnesota and Nebraska to play. Where is Wisconsin season going? And I wonder what the discussion becomes if it's just a one-off in Madison. And it's going to be better without your current quarterback. Well, where have we heard that before? Seriously, look at just the Big Ten West and the current quarterbacks. The collection of quarterbacks in the West will tell you that you do not have to have a premier C.J. Stroud kind of guy to be competitive in the West. We all love quarterbacks. We'd love to have the best quarterbacks and the top quarterback. And quarterbacks make the world go around, and they are the beginning and the end of every conversation about football. But look at the quarterbacks in the West Division. You don't necessarily need that, oh my God, guy. But current programs in the West that are struggling, take away their current quarterback, pair them with the same head coach. What looks different next year? Unless Graham Mertz changes completely, Wisconsin will have a new quarterback with Paul Chryst. Paul Chryst might get a get-out-of-jail-free card because of Graham Mertz. Scott Frost get-out-of-jail-free card with Adrian Martinez? No. But in Wisconsin, watch them at the tail end of the season. I don't think that defense is going to go anywhere. That defense is nasty. But that offense, we already know everything we need to know about Graham Mertz. But it is startling to see that Wisconsin just can't line up and run the football when they want to, whether it be the personnel up front or a revolving door of who's at running back. they don't look anything in that area like they've looked like before. And, you know, what are their chances in West Lafayette against Purdue? Especially against Purdue's defense, which Jeff Brohm made a change, fired Bob Diaco, went and searched, hired a defensive coordinator from Marshall that had a really good defense. They've got a lot of people involved in defense, and they are much better. They are vastly improved on defense in West Lafayette. All right, two more hours to come. But first, oh my man, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Jay. I'm doing great. I've been meaning to call you. I didn't get a chance to call you Michigan week, which I want to say, great job, by the way. I listen to you every day that week. You had some great insight and different angles upon approaching the game, man. That was really entertaining and fun to listen to, man.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you.
So how's everything with you?
It is good. It is good. You know, this time of the year, it's almost playoff football for high school. Hard to believe that tonight is the last night of the regular season, but, you know, heads above water.
Yeah, it's been so much going on. My season ended last week. You know, I'm coaching eight-man football now, by the way.
Which we need to talk about off-air because I am fascinated by the eight-man game.
Hey, listen. It took me – this is my second season. It took me a whole year, all last year in 2020. I keep – the sideline messed me up every game. We still got more room. No. Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, man, it took me a while. I haven't really – even in 2 years, I haven't grasped all of it. But I got a better idea than I did before, man. It was pretty tricky. I'm coaching my son's seventh grade team. And so I'm switching from Friday night, 8-man, Sunday afternoons, 11-man. One time I said, we got too many guys on the field. They were like, what? It's 11. I was like, oh, yeah. All right. So, man, it plays tricks on you, man, for real.
I'm glad you're back doing something you love.
Yeah. These kids brought me back, man. It's real good. We won our first game last week, which was in 4 years. And then the first home game in 7 years, man. So it was great to see the kids have success, and they really worked hard. The first year had an off-season workouts. New head coach Titus Hamilton doing a great job. It's his first year. His dad used to be a coach. He played for his dad at Omaha Christian Academy, and so he's building the program the right way, man. It was great to be part of his staff and being the defensive coordinator and everything, so it was really good.
That's awesome. You like your the maize and blue at 23.5 tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't like that number. Are we at home? I can't even remember.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. That's a little steep. Well, because I think it depends on – I don't think Northwestern is going to lay down. I think they're going to play tough early, and then I think if Michigan gets up about two touchdowns, I think Northwestern lay down, But, man, you know Northwestern, man. They always win when you don't expect them to win.
Mm-hmm.
But then we expect them to be, oh, this is the year, they don't get it done. So I'm a little leery. So I don't like that 23.5. What about you? I'm not a betting guy, but I'm going to probably go with Northwestern. I don't trust
them. I mean, this is a very bad Northwestern team. But this feels like a game where Michigan messes around and they're only up a couple of touchdowns and people are wondering if Michigan is for real. But Michigan wins.
Right.
But Michigan wins the game, and he never had a sense that it was close.
Right, exactly. And you know, listen, man, Michigan just needs to keep winning the right way. There's a right and a wrong way to win. You know what I mean? And people might be like, huh? Like, you know, because Michigan has had success before under Harbaugh, but then when it came to big games, he didn't win those. Top 25, you know, Ohio State, Michigan State, so he doesn't win those. So, yeah, you can beat 7-8 win team and think you're doing okay, but no, you're trying to get to the upper echelon. And so I think the recipe of the way they're going now is to finally get them in the hunt to beat Ohio State and compete to win a Big Ten championship. I believe they're doing the right things to do that.
Well, they are more, they are better fundamentally, and it seems like they are they're more in sync player to coach than I've seen Michigan in the last 10 years.
Most definitely. Look at the new hires they had. Like, I'm glad, you know, the AD wore manual, sat Harbaugh down. It's either you change your address or your assistant coach. And he got rid of some assistant coaches that needed to go and got the right assistant coaches that he needed to infuse, especially Mike Hart, Ronald Bellamy, like those Michigan guys that know what it means. It's all about beating Ohio State, because if you beat them, you can take the care of the rest of your schedule. And then you bring in a defensive guy that worked under your brother, so somebody that you could trust to come in and be the defensive coordinator. And now he can be the CEO and manage everything like he should be doing, because it's a big-time job. And you being a hands-on coordinator and all that stuff, man, it's too big of a job for that. So I think you have the right nucleus and staff this year, most definitely.
Yep. Lance, great to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. We'll catch up off-air about eight-man football.
Yep. Gary, real quick. Yep. Hey, man, I started a podcast. Go to my page, Twitter page, at Michigan Lance. Can you retweet that for me, please? I just sat down with Steve Warren, had a great conversation about past, present, and future Husker football program. It's called Listen Up Omaha. It's called Listen Up with Michigan Lance podcast. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, under my name, Lance Griffin. I'm on TikTok. Yeah, man.
So you're on TikTok?
Thank you, Gary.
Hold on.
I'm on TikTok, man.
What are you doing on TikTok?
My son is managing now. He's 13 years old. He's managing that deal. But I know I got to be in that space and in that realm, man. So, hey, Gay, I want to thank you for helping me get this jump started, because without you and Damon, I wouldn't have had the guts and the courage to jump out and do this. So I thank you very much, Gary, for giving me an opportunity back when you were on the morning show, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, my man.
Thank you, brother.
That's Michigan Lance, for people that are unfamiliar with Michigan Lance. Wow. I mean, we set up so many people around here, people that come in and co-host, and all of a sudden have their own show in different markets or on this radio station. I got podcasts.
There's a real coaching tree here.
There is. I think I have a pretty good tree of people that I've hired. I mean, I've been in this business way too long. Of people that I've hired that are either still in the Lincoln market or the Omaha market. Yeah, okay, I'm gonna put Michigan Lance under my tree. All right, we come back. We'll dive into a little bit more about Nebraska on the bye week, plus this weekend of college football upcoming. There is one thing that was just mentioned. We were talking about this weekend. Greg Bell's at San Diego State. Breece Hall is at Iowa State. Jay Ducker ran for two Bills for Northern Illinois. They play Central Michigan this weekend. Either guys that Nebraska had on the roster or were interested in had a really good weekend last weekend, or they've had a good season so far. But locally, right now in the running back room, this might be the most comfortable you've been with the running back room at Nebraska in a while. It's not just one guy and you're wondering, well, what is he? Ramir Johnson is starting to take off. You've got Gabe Irvin, who was starting to find a groove before he went down. Now after that, it's a hodgepodge. There's Yant, there's Morrison, and step. Don't you feel better about the running back room this far into a season than you have in a while? And both of the two top guys that I mentioned, one's a true freshman, the other is a redshirt freshman, and they're definitely going to be back next year. All right, 12-12. Quick break, come back. We'll get some emails. We'll get to your calls. You're always welcome on the Lanahan Nurseries hotline, 951-1620. There's Josh. I'm Gary on a Football Friday Fiesta, the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.